When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in this morning for Mr. David, and we are delighted to welcome in Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, gang. What's going on?
I was wondering what you were going to say this morning.
That's pretty
morning,
good.
Morning, gang. Morning, boys.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, Brad, we're talking about it this morning, trying to figure out what is there out there for the Bears now. You know, we know they've had a losing season. We know it is the 11th in 12 years, and we know that things did not go very well on the road in San Francisco. And now on Monday night, they head to Minnesota. I've seen the Bears win in Minnesota before, but that's a tough place to play, too. It's tough to be on the road. I don't know if we are expecting a shift in focus, a more dialed-in team than the one we saw in San Francisco.
Yeah, you were hoping that some of the issues on the road that had plagued the team earlier in the season wouldn't be an issue at San Francisco after they played pretty darn well at Detroit on Thanksgiving. You know, they played well enough to win the game on Thanksgiving, and obviously things kind of unraveled on them at the end, but a pretty solid performance against a really red-hot football team. And then I don't know if they'll, it was the long layoff, right? You know, they had the extra time, coaching change. We just be grasping at straws to try to explain it. But so we have seen evidence that the Bears can be competitive against quality opponents playing away from home. But you're just kind of hoping they're going to put it together at this point. Like, I can't pick the Bears to win again this year. Like, I've been like, hey, they're catching this team at the right time. They're going to have a boost. I pick them to win a close game against the 49ers. And, like, that thing was over early in the second quarter. So hopefully they can handle the protection a little bit better, because when that breaks down and the play calling has to become one-sided because you're chasing, it's going to get ugly.
Brad, how much do you make of, obviously, the double promotion of Thomas Brown in the last couple of weeks, and sort of he's only called eight games on offense. Now he's an interim head coach. How much of what happened on game day is a result of maybe just being a little bit overwhelmed over the course of the week? Or do you think it's just sort of overwhelmed on game day? Because the way that they came out and played so flat, I think is there a way to sort of point a finger at why, you know, the Bears came out and looked the way they did?
Yeah, I wish there was a simple explanation, because you would not have been surprised if the 49ers, after getting absolutely blown out in back-to-back games, would have been as flat or more flat on Sunday. Like, that's a team that went to the NFC title game in consecutive years before playing in the Super Bowl a year ago, and this season's kind of gone for them. So, but they look like a team that had that bounce back effect. And I wrote it. I talked about it on the show after Matt Eberflus was fired and they promoted Thomas Brown, that I thought there was a risk in making that move. The initial change in job title for Thomas to replace Shane Waldron was to help get things sorted out for the offense, to try to help Caleb Williams along in his rookie year. And I think everyone agreed that the results through the small sample size of three games, you saw an improvement, right? It wasn't phenomenal, but it definitely was better statistically, and I think it passed the eye test compared to what they had going on with Shane Waldron. And so then turning around and asking Thomas to, well, hey, you're a guy with high energy. The players seem to respond to you, so call the plays and be our interim head coach. I thought there was a risk in that, and we're still looking at a super small sample size again of just one game at San Francisco, but maybe I was on the right path, which happens every once in a while.
I'm curious, Brad. We talked a little bit this morning about the idea that Caleb Williams now has been sacked 56 times in 13 games, and he's on track for about 73, a little bit more than that on the season. And, you know, we know David Carr was sacked 76 times. It kind of ruined his career. How do you get a quarterback through the last four games of the year when you're playing good teams, when your offensive line has got some questions on it, and when he's getting hit like that? You know, the worst thing that can happen to a quarterback, as we all know, is when their eyes shift and they're looking at where the pressure's coming from and not down the field. I'm not saying he's doing that. I'm just saying he's getting hit too much.
Yeah, they piled up in this last game for sure. I think there were seven sacks, and they'd been better on the road handling some of those things. And boy, it's going to be a challenge against Minnesota. And I thought they handled Brian Flores and the Vikings better than I expected in that initial meeting back on November 24th at Soldier Field, when the Bears lost that close ball game. But it's going to be a different animal, I think, playing at U.S. Bank Stadium. And yeah, I'm not too worried about them ruining Caleb. Like, I think his approach has been terrific. And this is easy for me to say because I'm not the one being hit. But you look at these 56 sacks, and he does a nice job of not taking the huge hit. You know, sometimes it's something you talk about with running backs where defenders don't get that super clean shot on them. Maybe it's just my imagination, but it looks he's able to avoid those hits you see in the pocket where you're like, wow, they're going to have to scrape them off the turf. But it's been too much. They're to-do list for the off season is just so clear that it's unmistakable. Like that there has to be an offensive line rebuild, and they're going to need to address the D line as well. How they go about that would probably be shaped in large part by what they want to do scheme wise with the new coaching staff.
To that same effect, Brad, what did you make of Caleb's explanation for why he's getting sacked so much on third down? And how much can this coaching staff sort of emphasize teaching him how to get rid of the ball in those situations? And obviously, you know, some of them you don't have a choice when guys are flying in your face. But it does feel like that's an area that Caleb Williams can improve in these last four games.
I think there's certainly been some sacks that have been either ones where he's held the ball too long, although not a ton of that. I thought the 49ers had some good old-fashioned coverage sacks on Sunday as well, where, you know, I don't know if someone came open late in the play, but they had him glued up, and so the rush is able to get home. But the big problem is that they've been so poor overall on first down generally that they get in a second down situation that's more difficult than it should be, and then they're, you know, in a tough third down situation. And you saw Thomas Brown have some success initially as the play caller, and you went and looked at it and you said, well, you know, they were hitting big plays on first down. They were skipping third down altogether. So I think one of the explanations that's valid for how they can avoid some of these sacks is, you know, get out of so much third and six and more. And so you're not so predictable, because when it's third and long or when you're chasing a big deficit in the second half,
yeah,
like defenses have some very narrow things on their call sheets that they can get to. And the Bears just lack the personnel to handle that right now.
So we won't get an injury list till tomorrow, Brad, but what are you keeping?
We won't get it till Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. I'm sorry, Monday you game. Play Monday.
Yeah.
But what are you looking for on that? Is there a chance that Ryan Bates can come back from concussion protocol? Roshan Johnson, I don't know how many new injuries there are, but that might be a way of helping them moving forward. Is there anything that you're looking at that could be a deciding factor?
Well, they're going to need one of these running backs to come back, either Roshan or Travis Homer, who was banged up in the game on Sunday, because like DeAndre Swift isn't the guy you don't want him out there on 90% of the snaps. You want to be able to spell him a little bit, keep him fresh, hoping that he can bring that big attribute to the table in the game at Minnesota, which is big playability, you know, getting out in space, whether it be on a handoff or catching the ball out of the backfield and pick up a 15-yard chunk, you know, get 20 yards at some point. So he needs to be fresh to do that. So getting one of those running backs in the mix will be imperative. I think there's a possibility that Jaquan Brisker's practice window begins this week, but he's been sidelined for so long that I don't know that him practicing this week would put him in a spot to play on Monday night. Like Brisker's been down for 2 months now. With the concussion, more than 2 months. I think he's missed 8 ball games. So it's a 21-day practice window, but this is the first week that he's eligible to come back off of IR. And I think they finally made that move to shift him to IR just to remove some pressure off him, where, you know, you're hoping to get through that concussion protocol, but it's not like you go to the gym to work out harder to pass some test. Like,
right,
it's the brain, and he just wasn't able to get past it.
Is there value in bringing him back in this lost season? I mean, I get the idea of compartmentalizing an injury, having it occur and then return all in the same season. But, you know, just given his history with the concussions, et cetera, what's your take?
Yeah, I think there's two ways to look at it. One, just let him ride out the season on IR, or you could even activate him to practice, have him out there, run around to practice, active with the guys, and then after the window comes, the 21-day window comes, just keep him on IR. You don't have to then move him back. If you want to hold him out of ball games to not have another head injury this season, maybe you practice him and then not activate him. Maybe mentally for him, it's a good thing to clear to get him back in game action. Like those are some serious conversations that would need to take place, and I'm sure they'd want to involve him in his representation on some level.
Brad, obviously a lot of the attention now that Matt Eberflus is gone, I think, has shifted to Ryan Poles over the last, you know, couple days. What would you say is sort of the way for for that spotlight to get off him at this point? Like, what needs to happen in these final four games in order for, you know, Ryan Poles to feel really secure about, you know, making decisions for this team in the future?
Well, the better the quarterback plays, I think the better everybody's going to feel. That's in the building, outside the building, things of that nature. Stopping this losing slide would make everybody feel a little bit better. You know, I don't know if he's being – I don't know if his job's on the line with this five-game stretch for Thomas Brown. I said that when right. Eberflus was fired. Like, how are you evaluating – your GM, like, well, we're going to figure out if we're going to keep him or replace him based on what we do in a little over a month with an interim head coach. Like, that doesn't make sense right. to me at all. And every game matters. There's no question about that. But I just, like, yeah, they went out and they got their doors blown off. It's San Francisco, and everybody's looking for the next person to fire. And the GM or the team president said that, you know, Poles was the GM and he was the point man. Does that change
right.
Now that they've got the interim staff in place? I don't see how it does.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools. Made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. So we talked about Thomas Brown when he took the job and what would success look like. You know, what would it take for him to get rid of the interim tag? Is that conversation over? There are four games left, but
no, I don't think it's it's not over.
Okay.
Obviously, that was Delta. Setback,
yeah.
But that's one game in five. You see how they do. Like, it's a loaded schedule the rest of the way. You're gonna be feeling very different if they somehow spring an upset at Minnesota. I think they're 7-point underdog. At least that's what friend of the program Joe Fortenbaugh said the other night. And then catch the Lions at home. They do that somehow in back-to-back weeks. It'll look a lot different. My level of confidence in that happening is about next to zero. But they don't have to make a decision on this guy until sometime in January.
Great stuff, Big Z. Thank you, buddy. Hope you have a great week.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Brad.
All right. That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. Always fun to talk to Big Z. I don't know that there's a lot of resolution to anything, to be honest with you. You know, as we talk about Poles as much as anybody else, like, you know, there's a lot of time left in this season.
So much time. You
keep stacking losses as you had, that's like the Niners game, I'm saying. There's going to be a groundswell against the guy. And, you know, I don't know, you know, that awful news conference where he seemed like a scolded child with his football dad kind of trying to say it's all going to be okay. I just don't know how to view it. And we're getting a lot of people on the text line that are like, oh, you're out of your mind. Why would you bring the guy back? I just think we're gonna have to kind of take a log off the fire. And I think Bigsy is accurate. I don't know that there's much a general manager can do at this time of year to improve the football team over the next four games.
And that's why I feel like Kevin Warren coming out and saying Ryan Poles is the general manager of this football team moving forward. Like, you have to just sort of take it at its word at this point. And everyone who's upset about that is going to have to just cry themselves to sleep.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem with that is, like, he came out and he talked about how great Justin Fields is and what a great player is and how great he wants to be and how competitive he is. And then they traded him like 3 weeks later or a month later.
Right.
I'm just saying, I don't know how much the story shifts as this goes on. All right, we got to get to a break. It's Mully and Haw. We got Ruthie Polinsky in here today on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mornings with. When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky is in this morning, and we're having a fun conversation about the Bears. Coach Wannstedt is in the building, so we'll be talking to him in a little bit.
My favorite person.
Oh, yeah. He's great, man. He's just a good dude.
Just if you're ever having a bad day and you see Dave Wannstedt walk in, you just immediately healed.
Wow. I didn't know he had that power, but that's awesome. You know, I'm glad you used that term because I was saying when we start talking about different coaching things that we've heard in the last week, you know, Keenan Allen is his own wide receivers coach. He's a great coach. He's not just a wide receiver. He's an assistant coach. And that's, you know, I'm not going to pick on that. But when Thomas Brown was asked about Caleb Williams, he said, well, you know, I'm not the sole person responsible. You know, Caleb is doing a pretty good job. You know, right. I don't like hearing the physician heal thyself thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hope that you're not just letting people have enough leeway to kind of damage themselves or right. to ruin. I would rather the idea that, yes, where I'm going to hand this responsibility to this person, that person, because I am concentrating on the development of the quarterback. And that was the thing I was fearful of when he was promoted and moved out of the press box and down to the sidelines. And, you know, it seemed like the operation was functioning okay, but they got nothing done in the first half of that game, like literally next to nothing done. And, you know, you came out of that game and you thought all the play calling in the game was it. And you know, I get it. Assistant coach Keenan Allen, don't drop any passes, man. You're too good to be dropping the ball. Cole Kmet, don't drop a ball.
DJ Moore,
don't drop a ball. It's like you worry about the focus factor when guys are making correctable mistakes, mental mistakes.
And it's hard to sort of rally the troops and say, okay, let's lock in 5 games. Here we go. We're not making the playoffs. Don't, you know, try not to get hurt, but, you know, whatever. So I think like it takes a really impressive sort of stand from an interim to kind of get everyone up and going for these last 5 games when there isn't a ton to play for. But I do worry about sort of just sort of the shifting of responsibilities. I'm only all last week. I mean, and I understand because of the way that Matt Eberflus was losing games all last week. It's about streamlining communication and clock management and Chris Beatty and all this. It's like, maybe just score points, you know, like let's, at this point, you just got to figure out and develop and let's just put some good things on tape and make sure that this looks like a functioning football team.
I'm on a couple of different kind of threads with people during the game, and as I was watching it, that was one of my comments, was they seem to have solved all the clock management issues by falling so far behind it no longer matters. Like, that is not
to go down 24,
that's not the solution that right, you were right. hoping for. But that effectively, you know, there's no danger of making a bad decision at the end of the game because God knows you're so far removed from being competitive in it. And, you know, I don't want to be unfair about it. They did nothing in the first half. We know they had more punts than yards, but they did come down and score. And then when that elusive, I think it was 352 touches before Caleb Williams fumbled, and that fumble, that you were just in a position where you still, it wasn't like you were going to get back in the game, but you needed to score on every possession, and then once that was lost,
sucked the air out.
It did.
Yeah.
It really did. And, you know, look, they were down 16-0 in Detroit, and they managed to come back and get in the game. When you're down 24-0, it's just a bridge too far.
Yeah.
I think everyone knew it.
The way, you know what hasn't gotten enough attention? The way Kyle Shanahan throws the challenge flag.
Yeah.
I love that conviction. And you know
threw
what?
It halfway across. I mean,
it was incredible. It was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. And you know what? I think the one he tried to challenge the fumble, right? And then replay assist got involved. I think something like that happened in that one. But there's just an energy and a charisma and a confidence about like a head coach that you just look for on the sideline. And Kyle Shanahan has it all. Unfortunately, he won't be coming here, everyone. I hate to bring it.
I can't wait
to talk to Mike Florio about those.
Wasn't that bad?
He really just threw that against the wall and it stuck for a second.
It did. And you know, I had this kind of daydream that the guy would come here and by his dad's childhood home and commute from Forest Park to Lake Forest. I just thought, wow, wouldn't that be cool if that was always one of his plans in life?
Gosh.
But no chance. No. And he, you know, we talked to Tim Ryan. I want to talk to Dave about Tim Ryan. We talked to Tim Ryan, who's doing the color commentary on Niners games in the pregame. And he shot that down
so fast. I heard that.
It was hysterical. Mm-hmm. But it was like, there's no way. Like,
meanwhile, yeah, you know, everyone's saying, well, you got the quarterback here and Brock Purdy looked pretty dang good.
Well, I don't know how to feel about him. I know when he looks good, he looks good. But I think he has
a ceiling.
I don't know that he's got the arm strength. I think that Shanahan is almost quarterback proof.
Oh, for sure.
He's developed this system where you can win with Nick Mullins. Not a lot, but you did win. I get it. Like, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't last long enough, but I think that might be more on him than on the coach. So I think that as you kind of watch and evaluate them.
Yeah.
I mean, I get what Mike meant. That they're, you know, when you get to the Super Bowl and you lose in overtime, and then you come back with a season like this, you might. He compared him to Andy Reid. Like, Andy kind of had a, you know, he won what, five straight NFC title games, or got into five straight NFC title games, went to one Super Bowl, and then didn't start winning until he left. So I think that's the kind of the way he meant it. But, you know, the one thing Mike did say is that after he brought up Shanahan and I think John Harbaugh was the other guy that he mentioned, he said a coach from another team contacted him and said, why didn't you bring up me?
Right.
So I like that idea. So there's somebody that wants
to. Now we get to just play around. And
yeah, now we get to imagine who that might be.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, we've got Coach Wanstead. He's in the house. We're going to talk to him. We can get into some college talk with him. And obviously, we got to talk about the Bears in the league. It is Mully and Haw. We've got Ruthie Polinsky in here this morning on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Dave Wunstead, Bears head coach for six seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Why don't you hang it out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score?
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wunstead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in this morning. And we've got Coach Wanstead here in studio. Always a delight, Dave. Always fun to talk to you and break down football with you. Should we start with the college stuff, or do you want to get right to the
Bears? You know, being that I'm leaving here, it's so great to be here with Ruthie, too,
yes,
having part of the team.
Besties.
Ruthie's, you know, we worked together at NBC there. Mm-hmm. And
now we're besties.
Yeah. What are you doing now, not being at NBC with us, you know? You left us.
Chicago,
you know?
Sports Network, Coach.
Okay.
Football show. David Hall.
Yes.
There you go. But I'm heading right from here to do some TV for the Big Ten Network to talk playoffs, so let's do that.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, you look at this idea that there are conference champions with a bye and with a home game to follow. Well, it's not really a home game. They're the home team technically, but they're at a bowl game. How much of an advantage will that end up being, Dave? And should we rethink that and try to get the best teams with that advantage instead of the conference teams?
Yeah, well, here's the deal. This is the first year, obviously, 12 teams in the playoffs for everybody if you're not up to speed. And then the top four, it was supposed to be conference winners, but they went from rankings. The top four teams got a bye. Well, in the NFL, as we all know, since 2000, in the last 24 years, the team that got the bye in the NFL had a 79% chance of making it to the Super Bowl. So is that going to carry over to college? We don't know. But the point of the matter is that the bye is in NFL is very valuable, okay? So we got four teams that got a bye, and then number five, number six, number seven, and number eight, they in the rankings, how they finished up, they all get home games. And then the rest of the teams, and they try to match up. For example, number 12, the last team that got in, is playing number 5, okay? And then 11 would play 6. And am I correct on that, Dustin? Right? Dustin's my expert in there, and that's how they that's how they match them up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where it's at. And the big debate was, does SMU, who hasn't beaten a top 25 team, do they deserve to be in over Alabama that's beaten three top 25 teams? Well, the only way they're going to get this right, in my opinion, is do what the NFL does. Everybody's got to be playing the same competition. In other words, they got to say every team in the Power 5 is going to play 8, 9, 10, whatever, 12 Power 5 games. And then that way everybody's playing the big boys, for example, and no one can go out and schedule three or four of the lesser teams, and their competition is not scheduling lesser teams. Because they get more wins scheduling lesser teams, they get into playoffs. That's a discrepancy right now between SMU and what Alabama is.
Are you upset to not see some of those teams in the playoffs?
No, I'm not. I think the Big Ten, right, and you know, it got it right. Indiana would have an argument that why don't they have a home game? I mean, everybody can twist this thing to some degree to get an argument to better themselves. So, for the first year, there'll be some tweaks to this thing. Everybody's got to understand it's the first year coming out of the box, and the committees are going to sit back, the coaches will sit back, the athletic directors, the conference heads, and they're going to say, you know what, maybe we should make a few adjustments to this. But the neat thing about it is it's not – in the past few years, it's been Georgia, Alabama, maybe Ohio State in there or Michigan.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, we've got teams from the West Coast, from Oregon in all the way, obviously, to the East Coast, you know, the Penn States of the world. So the entire country now has a hand in the college football playoff. I think that's good.
This segment with Dave Wannstedt is sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all-weather protection for your business. And Dave, is there a team that seems to have an easier path than other teams? I kind of like Texas. I mean, I always thought Texas and Ohio State were two of the best teams all year long. But they open they're at home against Clemson,
right?
And then they go to forget who they go to.
Texas got to go. I'd say Texas, Mully, or Penn State. Penn State's got SMU right out of the box at home. It'll be a whiteout up there at State College, and then the winner of that game will play Boise State. Okay, who's got a bye?
Mm-hmm.
So. Penn State, if you're a Penn State fan, you got to think that you can beat Boise. You know, I don't know. But Texas does. I don't know who Texas.
To Arizona State.
Arizona State. I mean, yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's an argument. I mean, Texas or Penn State. I would probably go Penn State just because of, I just think with the home game.
I'm not sure how good they are, though.
Yeah,
I think
Texas
is awful good.
Yeah, Texas is awful good. Yeah, I'd say Texas. I mean, that's a fair statement. Texas or Penn State are probably the two teams that should have. You know, poor Ohio State.
I mean,
God, Ryan Day, right?
Ryan Day. Wish I felt a little bit sorry for him, Coach, but I don't because I'm Michigan Wolverine.
Oh, of course you. Oh, wow.
I think Ohio State should keep Ryan Day forever.
Yeah,
oh,
of course.
Boy.
Of course.
Oh,
you.
Boy.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
that's enough out of me.
That's pretty.
No, you're right.
They've lost two games by 4 points total. I'm just saying lost by a point at Oregon.
The pressure,
that's a hell of a loss.
See, I was going to say today, and Dustin may have changed my mind. You know, I was going to make the argument today on the Big Ten show that we talk about who's got the most pressure. I was going to say what Ruthie, you know, that Ryan Day does, because he's playing Tennessee. Tennessee right now is one of the few teams that they're ranked in the top 10 in the nation in scoring offense and scoring defense.
Yes.
Tennessee is, okay? So that is a handful.
How will they handle the being on the road, maybe inclement weather?
I don't know. I mean, that's the question mark. Dustin brought up a point. He says the team that he thinks has got the bullseye on him and better be ready to go is Notre Dame. Indiana comes up there, and with Cignetti and that Indiana team, Indiana's in the top 10 in the country.
The Indiana fans will travel too. I mean, that's kind of like to be in the region, I think, is cool too. There's going to be a huge Indiana contingency.
You see what
there.
Those tickets are going for?
What?
The tickets right
like
now.
$2,000 or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's like Taylor Swift.
They started off. My son-in-law, who went to Indiana, but both my daughters did. He bought tickets, and then I don't know what company he had. They reneged on it because the prices were going. Oh, yo, it's a mess.
Wow.
And the tickets now, Molly, are up to around $2,000. Where Penn State, SMU, you can get a ticket for $250 or something, $200.
Wow. He's a Notre Dame fan, though. So, I mean, that's really set me up.
Part of the conversation also is Marcus Freeman. If they were to lose to Indiana at home, they can't lose that game. They can't look ahead. They can't start. They can't start prepping for Georgia. No. But you can't start prepping for Georgia. Like every bit of focus needs to be on Indiana. Worry about Georgia after Indiana. Don't look ahead.
Who gets fired? Is it Ryan Day? Who gets fired?
Well, I think Ryan Day would get fired. If they lost to Tennessee, I think Ryan Day is all but gone. Right.
Because he lost to
me. I think the Freeman to the Bears conversation would definitely quiet if they were to lose to Indiana.
I think that needs to quiet.
I think it's time for that to stop.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah.
That's for him to get a new contract in case.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. That's an anxious.
Got a good agent.
That's what that is. That's a good agent.
Anyway, so that's, we'll see how it unfolds. And then they got all the other bowl games. We can't lose sight of Illinois. Brent Bielema has done a great job.
They're
going for a 10-win season. I mean, that doesn't happen overnight.
They got a tough game, too.
They've got South Carolina, their number one guy, the Illinois' number one guy, the wide receiver, he's taking himself out of the game.
Oh,
getting himself ready for the draft.
Patrick Bryant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he really?
That's what I was told yesterday.
That's tough.
Yeah, that'll.
And I understand the business decision, but it's just it's tough.
He's been huge
for them, right?
And he's going to the Senior Bowl, right? He was invited.
Getting ready.
There, and
he's getting ready for that.
Yeah.
Did you see Dion's post game thing? He had. I know Dion. I followed him. He's as crazy as some things have happened in Colorado. The guy does some really good stuff out there. If you really follow him. And he came afterwards. Now, we'll see who shows up. But afterwards, when they won their last game, he called the team. He did this. He says, 8 o'clock in the morning or something like that. We after classes, let's get together here and we're going to lay out our bowl preparation. And all the players, including his son and Hunter. They got two of the top, maybe the first and second player in the entire draft. Okay. And they're all looking at each other. And he says, any questions? And he walked away. It'll be interesting to follow Colorado and see, does his son and...
he said, we're going to win the Heisman this week. The Heisman gets handed out Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go play BYU.
Yeah, but it was hilarious. He says, 8 o'clock in the morning, I'll hand out the itineraries for the bowl. And then it showed a picture of their players, and his son and them are looking around like, Dad, we're going to play in a bowl game?
Travis Hunter is going to win the Heisman, and he is going to be a very high draft pick. What would you do with him in the NFL?
Wow.
Is he a corner? Or would you use him on
some specialty
plays? We
got all offseason to talk about this, Molly.
I'm just asking as long as his name came up.
Well, you know what? I was on a discussion with the 33rd team. I'm involved with them.
Yep.
And we were talking about that. And the consensus was that corners are – you need all the work to play corner in the NFL. So you probably play him at corner.
You can't play him at two positions.
But you could use him on offense as some special plays.
Yes.
Right.
Reverses, throw them deep, do something like that. That would probably be the way to go. I don't know. He could start on either side, though. That was also a consensus.
All right. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back. We'll talk to Dave about the horror, the bear season. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw. We've got Ruthie Valiski here on The Score.